With a reading like that, clearly we are getting to the end of the liturgical year. Always at the end of the year, we have these readings that are what we call apocalyptic. And everybody knows that apocalyptic readings are all about the catastrophic end to the world, everything being destroyed and utterly going into ruin. Maybe and probably not. In fact, when you look at this whole idea of apocalypse and the apocalyptic across the pages of the scripture in the Old Testament and in the New, a very different idea begins to emerge. And we need to keep all those different ideas in mind right across this 13th chapter in the Gospel of Mark. It's our final reading from the Gospel of Mark. Next week, we'll actually have something from the Passion in the Gospel of John. So here in chapter 13 of Mark's Gospel, it's not really about the end of all things. First, this word, apocalypse. In the Hebrew, it's the word galah. And the first time we come across this word is actually with the story of Noah in Genesis 9. And there you have this strange and very bizarre story of Noah after he's come off the ark and he's there and his two sons kind of come in and something shameful happens because we're told that Noah lay there on his bed, galah, uncovered, naked. And you're like, okay. A few chapters later in Genesis 28, we're told that Jacob is fleeing for his life and he goes into this certain place. It's as vague as that. And he has this encounter with God. And a few chapters later in Genesis 35, he's reflecting on what happens. And he says, on that day, God galahed himself to me. God revealed something about his very essence, who he was. When we come to the New Testament, we get a different word. It's in the Greek language, it's the word kalypto. And for example, in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 8, we have the story of Jesus coming across the water. And the disciples are there in the boat. It's a storm has broken out and the waves are breaking over the side of the boat and they threaten to kalypto the boat. They threaten to swamp the boat. There's so much water coming in that the boat will be covered with the water. In the Gospel of Luke in chapter 8, we're told that Jesus says, you know, no one lights a lamp to have it kalyptoed, to have it covered. Instead, they put it out on a lampstand so that it is apocalypto. It's revealed, it's uncovered so that people can see the light. In the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 11, we have the beautiful prayer that kind of comes to the very heart of Jesus as he's saying, you know, I bless you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have kalyptoed these things from the wise and the clever, but you have apocalypto them to mere children. You have made things known. And it's only through the heart of the Father that I am able to apocalypto these things to others. So it's this whole sense, you know, not of the end of the world, but simply there are some things that are hidden, that are covered, that aren't able to be discerned or understood. But Jesus comes to apocalypto them, to reveal them to us. So when we get to a passage like this in Mark chapter 13, we need to keep all of these kinds of nuances in mind. Mark, when he's writing this gospel, the historians tell us that it's most likely that he's in the city of Rome in the mid-60s. It's after the death by martyrdom of Peter and Paul and other great leaders in the church. And so there's this whole sense of fear and trepidation. You know, what's going to happen? The Romans are really exercising their authority. Back in the Holy Land, there's stories of rebellions beginning to be unleashed. And Titus, the Roman ruler who is looking after that the legions there in Rome, he knows that he has to take a stand, and all of that is beginning to come to a head. So Mark is writing knowing all of the things that Jesus said. You know, Jesus could easily see that he grew up in up there in Galilee. That was where the resistance movement against the Romans was strongest. The people, the Sicarii, the sword carriers, you know, we have two of the disciples at least who were part of this crew of people that were wanting to overthrow the Romans by armed insurrection. And so he knows that that's not going to end well. Those people that are trying to attack the Romans and the Romans themselves wanting to defend their position. Of course, this is not going to go down well. And so he predicts easily and readily this whole sense of the days of darkness, of what is going to unfold. And he's telling us, you know, look out for those signs. Use the wisdom that I'm able to give you to share in that and to know that there are these signs, to be prepared, to run for your lives. You know, if this is about the end of the world, what's the point of running? If you're going to go out into the fields, you know, the whole world is coming to an end. Well, there's no point running away. But he's telling us, no, this is a much more specific term about his own suffering and death that is about to happen, but also the suffering and death of the early church and the early followers of Jesus, who will have to you know, have that courage and to continue to grow in wisdom and strength. So for us, what is the significance of this? How do we live in the light of all of this? And I think it's important first to remember that this is not simply about predictions about the end of the world. I remember the first time I seriously studied the scriptures. It was at Sydney Uni. And it was I had this wonderful teacher who was an Orthodox Jewish, I call him a rabbi, but of course he wasn't, but he was a rabbi for me. And often this, you know, the students, as you know, 19, 20 year olds, we know nothing, and yet we ask all these silly questions of the master. And I remember he would consistently answer, you know, our silly questions with this one line. He would simply say, "That of which it has not been revealed, we must remain silent." And there's a wisdom in that. So often we've attempted to answer questions that the Lord has not revealed, or the Lord has not given us these answers. You know, the last line of the gospel today, you know, no one knows when that day or the hour will come, and yet so many people across the centuries have said, "Yes, I know." And you're like, Jesus himself said that he didn't know how this was all going to unfold. Only the Father knows this gift. And yet so many have attempted to predict, you know, when the exact time that Jesus will come, or how it will look, and all of this. And in the light of the full package of scripture, in the light of the full revelation of the church community across the centuries, we should be able to see how foolish that is. It doesn't take away from our own need to be ready, our own need to face whatever God might be asking of us. How will I respond? How will I open myself to this goodness of God? How will I be ready? It's a good thing at the end of a liturgical year just to ponder back across the, you know, the weeks and months of this year. Like 2020, 2021 has been a crazy year. It's been a year where a lot of people, you know, we didn't expect that this is the way that the world would turn out so far. And yet there are lots of occasions that have perhaps been joyful, things that we didn't expect that during the lockdown we were able to experience anew. Perhaps it was also just that deep sense of longing for God, that longing for the Eucharist, longing for community that we were able to experience. Whatever that is, to know that in this moment, in this current situation, wherever we are, whatever we're facing, whatever our trials, whatever our past, this is the only time that we have to be able to be before our God. That in this moment, Jesus will meet us. In this moment, he will embrace us, regardless of our past, regardless of whatever it is that might have prevented us from opening ourselves. Today, in this very moment, in this time, we can choose to respond to God. In this moment, we can open ourselves to his goodness, to his grace. We can pray for that gift of the Holy Spirit to be unleashed and released within us. We can pray that we will be open, that we will be used by God to be his instruments of goodness and truth within the world. That is this apocalypto. That's the way that God is revealing himself to us, to be ready. That we're called and invited to be his image bearers. We're called and invited to be his people, his hands and feet within the world. That we can do. That we can make at response. You know, we can choose to love. We can choose to respond. We can choose to be useful within the world, to campaign and protest against those things that are so terrible within our world, to be part of that solution of people that are longing for a world of goodness and justice and truth to be released and revealed within our world. Let's indeed not be too worried about all of the future and what it might hold and all of those things, but work and challenge ourselves to be faithful to the few things that God has given us to do today. To say yes to him, to say yes more deeply to love, and to be caught up and captured by his wonder and by his goodness today.